Well, I can see you're all Baptists. What zip code is that? I'm nearsighted and you're out there somewhere. It's so good to be with you. I'm so honored to preach here. I feel like you're friends because I've had the privilege of being part of church work with Joe Ferguson for a few years, Joe. I don't know how many. I lost count. And at Foundation Church in Pulteney and Faith for Life in Castleton. And I love Janelle LaChapelle and her family. They're just special people, and Janelle does ministers to our church whenever she's there at Meadowee. I'm just so glad to meet more of you. President Ballard, thank you for the introduction. I started looking around wondering who was preaching, but you're a good agent. I should have you introduce me all the time, but it's just so wonderful to be with you, and I want to share a message with you from the book of Mark, the 8th chapter. And while you're looking for that passage, Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. And as President Ballard mentioned, I am a trustee of Gateway Seminary, and one of the jobs of a trustee is to promote seminary. So I want to tell you that Southern Baptists have terrific seminaries all over the country. You couldn't go wrong with any of them. Golden Gate Seminary, which is now Gateway, was probably the most important influence in my life as a Christian and as a minister of the gospel. You get the extra thing, the entire world. And I learned more about ministry in California than anywhere else. And it's something you can't replace. And so anyone who's interested in Gateway, please let me know. And I have one or two connections. I'll try to help you as I can. But I want to read this passage of Scripture to you. Mark chapter 8, beginning with verse 27. God's word says, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a person to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the music that has stirred my soul. Thank you for blessing my heart with this time of praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, for this great college. Thank you for all that it means to Vermont and to New England and the Northeast. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Use it, Lord, for your purpose. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive you and to say yes to you today. For we ask it and we thank you in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. I have a title for the sermon. El Destino. I just always wanted to have a Spanish sermon title. It means destiny, but it sounds more dramatic, doesn't it, in Spanish? And so Jesus, it starts simply enough. Jesus is walking along the road. There were no cars, so if you're going to get somewhere, you walked. But they were doing the same thing you and I might do in the car as we're driving to one of the 251 communities in Vermont. They were just talking. And I don't know what they had been talking about, the weather, how good fishing is, I don't know. But Jesus finally threw in a question. And his question is, who do people say I am? As you guys walk around and you listen to people, what are they saying about me? And there seemed to be a consensus. There was no consensus about the specifics of who Jesus was. But there seemed to be a consensus that Jesus was a special servant of God. Perhaps connected to the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Everybody here has come back from the dead in the list. Elijah and still others, one of the prophets. They don't know who Jesus is, but people recognize that he's special, that God is doing something revolutionary around them. And so they share that with Jesus. Then I don't know if it happened right away or they walked another quarter mile or so. But then Jesus asked them the personal question. Now, whether we grow up with the gospel like these disciples, if you really want to preach the gospel, you don't have to go past Malachi. You know, they had heard the gospel all the time growing up. Or it doesn't matter if you're like people who are merely spiritual, like so many of the good people of Vermont. Sooner or later, we must answer the personal question. Joe fed me yet last night. Thank you, Joe. It was good. And we were talking about this. All the people in Vermont who are spiritual people. And I have, as President Ballard illustrated, if you don't know anything about me, you know that I've lived everywhere in the United States almost. And there are no nicer people in the world than in Vermont. And they're spiritual people. But sooner or later, as Joe was telling me about a woman whom we both know, Joe asked her the personal question. Sooner or later, you have to answer the personal question. Who do you say that I am? And then Peter. Peter, I love Peter most, because Peter makes me feel better about myself. I see me so often in Peter. And in some places I wish I saw more of myself in Peter. But Peter has this moment of clarity. He has this moment of clarity. I've been walking down the road with Jesus for a long time. And I already told you I'm nearsighted, which means if I don't wear glasses, the farther away from me you are, the blurrier you get. And the farther away from Jesus I get, the blurrier things get. And the reality in life, if anybody tells you they're always right in step with the Lord, I've not met them. You know, I've not seen that. It's not true in my life. You spend a lot of time nearsighted walking with Jesus because what he's doing is too great for you to get. But every now and then there are these moments, you know, it's like you fumbled around in the dark and you found your glasses and you see. And Peter had this moment of clarity. And in classic Peter, he just says it. Well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. Of course. You're not just some important person. You're not just special. You are the promised Messiah. You're the Christ, the eternal Messiah, the one the prophets told us about. You are the one and only Savior of the world. And then there's something for those of you who are really into reading a lot. You might know about the Messianic Secret. I don't even remember which theologian came up with that term. But Jesus over and over says, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And he does it again. He says, you know, don't tell anybody. He warned them. Don't go around telling people I'm the Messiah. Now, Jesus would declare himself Messiah at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But that declaration would set in motion the journey to the cross. And before the cross, Jesus needed to prepare his disciples to be apostles, not just followers, but sent people. And so this declaration by Peter, it is a pivotal moment in the Gospel of Mark. It is a watershed moment in this gospel because Jesus changes his teaching approach after this declaration. He's been talking in parables. He's been telling stories, trying to help people understand the kingdom of God. Now he just looks his disciples in the eyes and says, okay, you fellows get it now. You understand I'm the Messiah. So before I go to the cross, let me lay this out for you because you have a lot of work to do. And so plainly, he starts to teach them. And he teaches them that the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and notice the emphatic language here, he must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he must be killed. Must be killed and then rise again. Now, Peter, isn't it amazing it's the same guy in both places? Peter, who has just said, well, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you're the Savior of the world. When he hears Jesus talking about suffering and dying, he can't handle it. And he's one of these great advisors. You know, he He takes Jesus aside and says, you got to quit talking like this. This is never going to happen to you. We're never going to let you die. We'll protect you. We'll take care of you. You got to, don't talk about this anymore. And Jesus, there's this amazing scene here. He's listening to Peter, who presumes to give the person he just said is the Messiah advice. And he looks in the eyes of the other disciples. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he saw exactly in those eyes. Maybe he saw fear. Maybe he saw confusion. Maybe he saw collusion. You know, Peter was the guy, you may know people like this. Peter was the one everybody else said, Peter, go talk to Jesus. And Peter was willing. You know, he was out there and he just did whatever came to his mind, he said. But when Jesus looked at the eyes of his disciples, you see it happening. The whole purpose of his coming was on the line. Because here was this guy who at one minute, in one rare moment of clarity, says, you are the Savior of the world. And now he's saying, don't talk about the cross. It's never going to happen. And so he looks Peter in the eye, and I can't imagine what this was like, and says, get behind me, Satan. You adversary of the gospel, you enemy of everything God is doing in the world, get away from me. Now, this is his friend. This is a person who loves him. But sometimes the people who love you can do the most damage in your life. Because Peter was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. Think about that just a minute. Peter was playing the role of Satan. Satan wanted to keep Jesus from the cross. Now, Peter had different motives. He wasn't trying to stop salvation. But he would have Jesus abandon the purpose of his life, the purpose of his coming, the reason for Bethlehem. Give everything up because Peter couldn't stand the thought of the cross. But there's a kind of missing word in what Jesus tells them. It's implied, but we don't want to miss this part. Jesus began to teach them plainly that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And the missing part is this, and after 3 days, he must rise again. Without the resurrection, there's no life. And without the cross, there is no resurrection. So when Peter says, no, this will never happen to you, he is trying to lead Jesus away from the whole reason he came. It's the worst, most terrible thing that anyone could ever have done. It's Peter who's doing it. Now, Jesus only calls followers. Sometimes I really just want to be a traveler who checks in on occasion. You know, Lord, I'll do my thing, I'll go my way, and once in a while we'll get together. I'll have my quiet time. But Jesus only calls followers. And so after he rebukes Peter, he brings the crowd and all his disciples with him. And this is the thing you can miss, because there's a context to what Jesus said next. He's told his disciples in just plain language, I'm going to suffer and die and rise again. And Peter said, no way. And Jesus said, yes way. This is why I came. And so his illustration is very pointed. The disciples know exactly why he's using this moment to say what he does. If you want to come after me, interesting. What's a disciple? What's the word mean? Follower. If anybody here really wants to follow me, then you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny your dreams. Deny your ambitions. Deny your sense of direction. Give it all up. Jesus says, look, I came to go to the cross. Peter, you just told me to give up my very reason for being here. If you're going to follow me, you must take up the purpose given to you. You must take up your destiny. Jesus said, I am going to come and do what I have, my reason for coming into the world. What was the triumph at the cross? The triumphal words? It is finished. It's done. And Jesus said, I'm going to finish what I came to do. Peter wanted to save Jesus and himself. He wanted to save them from danger. And Jesus says, you must surrender your life in order to discover its purpose. There is no in-between in the Christian life where Jesus does what I want Jesus to do. Jesus says, carry your cross. Give up yourself. Surrender yourself. Jesus will accept only one thing from me. Only one gift you and I can ever give to Jesus. The only thing he wants from me is me. Myself. So he says, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. To miss my life's purpose is to lose myself. He says, for whoever wants to save his life, whoever makes his or her dreams, desires, ambitions, the priority in life, will lose their purpose in living. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever will give up life will find life's purpose. What good is it to gain the whole world, to get everything you dreamed of, and lose who you are. You see, Jesus, you remember when Jesus came to Peter and Andrew and James and John, what did he say? Follow me. I'll teach you how to fish for people. I'll give you a new purpose in your life. They left their boats and they followed him. Now he's calling them to leave another boat, the boat of security, and give their lives to Jesus. Peter had been ashamed of Jesus and his words. He told him, stop talking like that. But Jesus would fulfill his purpose even against the will of those who loved him. When you know what God wants you to do, it doesn't matter what anybody else wants you to do. Now, Peter knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And one day, Peter would look the risen Messiah in the eye. Now look at what Jesus says last. What can you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing. All you can give is yourself. All Jesus wants from you is you. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. My grandmother, special person in my life. And she had a way of straightening me out that I'll never forget. I hear her voice often when I'm doing the wrong thing, when I'm going the wrong way. I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, and this is the way she said things. She'd look me in the eye, and she just said this, our people don't act that way. That's all she needed to say to me. Our people don't act that way. And when she's saying, look, you do what you want, but if you're in my family, you don't behave like this. And Jesus, like the most loving parent ever, says to his disciples, says to everybody listening, you're going to look me in the eye one day. Will I be proud of you or ashamed of you? Now maybe you know that look when your parent is ashamed of what you've done. Isn't it the worst feeling as a child? It just tears you up inside. And Jesus says, you're going to look me in the eye. Will I be ashamed? Are you going to give up your destiny? Are you going to turn away from what you're being called to do? Now, this is a great place. What a tremendous school. Full of students who want to do God's work in the world, who want to spend their lives walking the path with Jesus. I can promise you one thing. If you're going to walk with Jesus, it will scare you to death. You'll want to quit. You'll want to say, Lord, this is not the way it's supposed to be. The only thing you can give Jesus is yourself. Follow Jesus. Don't let even the people who love you turn you away from what God's calling to do, you to do. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Jesus took up his cross. Jesus places your cross on you. Take it up. Give all that you have and follow Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your love that took you to the cross, even when your best friend said, don't do it. Thank you, Lord, for finishing the work of salvation. Help us, Lord. Help your children. Help us to fulfill our destiny, carry our cross, and follow. In Jesus' name.